Hello, this is Talk About English. I'm Neil Edgelo.
And I'm Nuala Sullivan.
In the programme today, we're talking about tourism.
Some places might get spoiled by too many tourists going there. But on the other hand, they do bring money.
We talked to our guest in the studio, Martin Dunford, who's the co-founder of the travel guidebook series Rough Guides.
Hello there.
And we'll hear from Rosalia, a listener in Brazil, about tourism in her country.
This is Rosalia from Brazil. I think tourism is very important to Brazil. Tourism has grown the economy.
And we'll have our regular word facts throughout the programme.
That's all coming up in today's Talk About English.
So, Nuala, I know you are a well-travelled person. What kind of holidays do you like taking?
Well, I used to really like just lazing about on a beach, but, you know, nowadays I'm finding I prefer kind of activity holidays like running or cycling or, you know, where I'm out there doing
adventure
things.
Adventure holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you? What kind of holidays do you like?
Well, I like to go somewhere that I don't really know anything about, so everything is a new experience for me. And talking of holidays, here's our first word fact.
Word facts. Our first word fact is holiday. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. Holiday is most commonly used as a countable noun. A holiday. In British English, it means the time we take off work or school to do what we want, often travel or relax. In American English, the word vacation is more commonly used.
Have you had a holiday yet this year?
No, I'm going to Spain in September.
You can also use holiday as a verb, to holiday, though it's less common than the expressions to go on holiday or to take a holiday.
I'm going on a holiday to Hawaii next week.
Lucky you! I haven't taken a holiday in years.
A person on holiday is known as a holiday maker. For example, the airport was full of holiday makers.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's a fact.
And there'll be more word facts throughout the programme. Our guest in the studio today is Martin Dunford, who is one of the men who started the travel guidebook series Rough Guides. Welcome to the programme, Martin.
Hi, glad to be here.
How did you get into travelling in the first place and then travel writing?
Well, I suppose like all good things, it was kind of by accident. We've just celebrated our 25th anniversary this year, so it was that long ago, back in the 1980s, and I was, like a lot of people at the time, skulking around Greece, in fact teaching English as a foreign language, trying to avoid getting a job in England and trying to see a bit of the world at the same time. And I met the guy, Mark Ellingham, who was writing the first book, and we sort of spent some time together, and I ended up going to Amsterdam to write a book on that city.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. That sounds like a really good job. I think that's what I'd like to do. You know, tourism is such a huge industry now. Have you been back to a place that you visited a long time ago, say Greece or Amsterdam maybe, where you've seen a really big change because of tourism?
Yeah, I would say that actually, anywhere that you go back to now, that you maybe previously you haven't visited for 20 years, you're going to see a pretty big change, because I think it's, although tourism had really taken off even in the 80s, it's sort of grown exponentially since then. I actually, I'm the author of The Rough Guide to Rome, and I spent a couple of months in Rome last year, and I've been back many times since, but I was actually, because I was spending a bit of time there, I was making a comparison between the first time I went in the middle of the 1980s, and the difference is really huge. Mm-hmm. I remember going there in 1985 or something, and I felt, although it was obviously a very touristed city even then, I felt like some of the sites I was sort of visiting almost for the first time, and no one else really knew about them. And going back last year, there were sort of queues around the block at some of those places. And I think that's an example of how much it's changed, the city.
And now it's time for our next word fact.
Word facts. Our next word fact is mass tourism. It's made up of two words. M-A-S. M-A-S-S, mass, and T-O-U-R-I-S-M, tourism. It's a noun and refers to large-scale tourism, which sees huge numbers of tourists visiting certain popular destinations, commonly beaches and historic cities. It's an expression you may hear in news reports or discussion programs.
The greatest concern I have with mass tourism is that it twists, and it can twist and distort the very culture itself.
To describe a place which is overcrowded with tourists, you can use the adjective touristy. It's used negatively to talk about somewhere spoiled by mass tourism. You can also call a place with a large number of tourists a tourist trap.
I went to Paris last weekend.
Did you go up the Eiffel Tower?
No, it's a complete tourist trap. You have to wait for ages, and it's packed with people.
Yeah, I suppose it is a bit touristy.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's a fact.
You're listening to Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.
Still to come, more from our studio guest, the travel publisher, Martin Dunford.
And we hear from one of our listeners about tourism in Brazil. Now, tourism is one of the world's biggest industries, employing millions of people and supporting the economies of some of the poorest countries in the world. But there is a negative side to this. Some people say the culture and character of certain holiday destinations has been changed by mass tourism. Others say cheap flights have contributed to climate change. Martin, do you agree that there is a good and a bad side to the tourist industry?
Yeah, of course, I think there is a good and bad side, but it's not a question necessarily it being a good or a bad thing. I think it's just a fact, and it's sort of too late to put the genie back into the bottle, really. Obviously, there are very negative aspects of tourism. There's the concern for the environment, as you say, with the increase in flights. Local communities do get changed by increased tourism numbers, but in a sense, that's to sort of suggest that we'd prefer them to be sort of preserved in aspic, and no, you know, places are changing all the time. It's not just tourism that's changing them, it's many other factors as well. There's the sort of, almost the most depressing thing is how the world always sort of, and certainly this is true of Europe, all starts looking a bit the same. You see the same shops and the same kind of hotel chains, and that can take away a little bit from the excitement of travel.
I spoke to some people earlier on and asked them what they think the positive and negative sides of tourism are.
For Great Britain, it's a good thing, particularly for London. I don't think we'd survive without it.
It's a good thing if you're a tourist and you need to go somewhere and visit and find out about places and be involved in that. It's sometimes a bit annoying when you live in a tourist area and everything is geared towards tourists.
Well, people travelling a lot is, you know, burning fossil fuels. So if they fly, then that's not very good.
I suppose some places might get spoilt by too many tourists going there. But on the other hand, they do bring money to local people and local industries. So I suppose a balance is what's wanted.
So some interesting points there. Someone mentioned burning fossil fuels and damage to the environment. Someone else said places might get spoiled by tourism. What do you make of those points, Martin?
I think places do get spoiled by tourism. But I think what would we rather do instead? I think we'd have a... I think the point about travelling is that it helps you to get out there and see other cultures and see how other people live. And that can only really be to everybody's benefit. I think, really, we have to achieve some sort of balance.
And another point was that local people and industries rely on tourism, and so we need to have that balance. So how can we get the balance right, Martin?
Well, I think it's important, you know, I think it's a buzzword to be a responsible and sort of ethical consumer now anyway, and that applies to tourism more than ever. And I think, you know, local economies do benefit from tourism, and it's important for us as travellers to choose the right services and the right places to stay, so you can be sure that your money is actually going to the benefit of the local community and not to some sort of multinational company that's based elsewhere.
Well, we'll have some more about ethical tourism later in the programme, but now time for our next word fact.
Word facts. Our next word fact is package tour. It's made up of two words. P-A-C-K-A-G-E. Package. And T-O-U-R. Tour. A package tour is a holiday at a fixed price, which includes travel, accommodation, and often meals as well. It's also known as a package holiday.
You look healthy.
I've just been to Cuba on holiday.
Wow, was it expensive to fly there?
Well, it was a package tour, so everything was included.
The opposite of a package holiday is known as independent travel. This means the tourist has made all of the arrangements by themselves. A person who travels from place to place without a fixed plan and with all of their possessions in a rucksack is called a backpacker. This type of holiday is called backpacking.
I found a really cheap package tour to Mallorca. Do you fancy it?
No way! I want to go backpacking. It's so much more independent.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's a fact.
So we've just heard about the different types of holiday there. Can we say, Martin, that certain kinds of holiday are more damaging than others?
Well, obviously, choosing to fly rather than take the train or get on your bike is more damaging to the environment. And I think, as a general sort of principle, going to anywhere that is sort of not its sort of natural in its kept in its natural indigenous state, somewhere perhaps where water is scarce, but they've built a lot of hotels which obviously consume a lot of water, it has a more negative impact.
We hear a lot about ethical tourism. Can you tell us what that actually is?
I'm sure there's lots of different definitions, but I would say the definition we have at Rough Guides is making a sort of choice in your sort of travel plans whereby you have a neutral impact on the location you're travelling to, or at best maybe a positive impact.
Okay, well, let's hear now our last word fact of the day.
Word facts. Our next word fact is gap year. G-A-P. Gap. And Y-E-A-R. Year. A gap year is a period of time, usually between school and university, spent travelling abroad. Taking a gap year has become increasingly popular for British students. Often people on a gap year will work for part of the time on a volunteer project in the developing world. Others work for money to pay for the rest of their trip.
What are you doing on your gap year?
I'm working at an elephant orphanage in Sri Lanka, and then I'm backpacking across India.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. And that's a fact.
So with a lot of these gap years, there's an element of ethical tourism. Do you think, Martin, this is a fad, or is it something which is a good sign for the future?
I don't think gap years are a fad. I think they've been around for a while and they've sort of taken hold, and I think young people increasingly are taking gap years. They're at a time in their life when they've got the time to travel. And combined with that, I think the general trend in travel is for people to look for something a little bit more exciting than just sort of lying on a beach. And so people are sort of looking to go to sort of more far-flung destinations and try and give something back to the communities they're visiting.
And do you think that they are giving something back genuinely, or do you think a kind of industry has grown up around this?
As always, an industry has grown up around it, and I'm sure some gap year volunteering schemes are better than others. But it, on balance, I would say, a bit like tourism, it's a sort of net good thing rather than a bad thing.
And now it's time to chat to one of our listeners on the phone. Hello, who am I speaking to today?
This is Rosalia Tavares da Silva.
And where are you from?
From Brazil.
Nice to speak to you. We're talking today about tourism. Can you tell me what kind of holidays you like?
In Brazil, Carnival is the best one. We have 5 days out of working, so it's the best.
How do you normally celebrate Carnival?
We have a lot of parties all over Brazil.
And is it a very big tourist attraction for foreigners visiting Brazil?
Yes, of course. It's the best one. I think it's the most known Carnival in the world. It's in Rio.
And do you think that the tourists have made the festival better, or do you think it has somehow spoiled the special atmosphere?
No, it has actually improved. It's much better than it was before, because it was, I think for many years has been improving life in Rio because of Carnival.
And what are the other major tourist attractions in Brazil?
Especially for foreigners, I think the natural environment we have in Brazil, Amazon attracts people to come to Brazil.
Do you think it's a good thing for lots of tourists to go to places like the Amazon?
Yes, I think so. I think tourism is very important to Brazil, especially now, because tourism has grown the economy. Amazon itself, it's the environment problem is not related to tourism.
So you don't think tourists are damaging the environment?
I don't think so. And also because here in Brazil we have educational programs and people have been trained to, especially the staff people in tourism, to advise and to tell people what to do and not to do.
Okay, Rosalia, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And that was Rosalia in Sao Paulo, Brazil, which brings us on to our competition. She talked about the Rio Carnival and the Amazon as the major tourist attractions in her country. We'd like to hear about your country. What are the major sites and how have they been affected by tourism? Try to use some words and expressions from this webcast and we'll publish our favourite entry on the BBC Learning English website. Good luck. Ah, and that bell tells us we're nearly at the end of the programme, but it's time for a 60-second recap of today's topic. So listen to these questions. Can you answer them?
60-second recap.
What do Americans say instead of holiday?
Vacation. Vacation.
How do you spell tourism?
T-O-U-R-I-S-M.
What do we call a person who's on holiday?
A holidaymaker. A holidaymaker.
What do we call a holiday with a fixed price, which includes transport, accommodation, and sometimes food?
A package tour. A package tour.
What's the name of a period of time spent travelling between school and university?
A gap year. A gap year.
Well, that's all we have time for today from Talk About English.
Remember to check the website for details of the competition and downloads.
Thank you very much to our special studio guest, Martin Dunford.
Thank you very much.
And goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.